Hey Podders, welcome to episode 107 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Hello to you from snowy Texas.
It's not snowing yet. Just give it a minute.
We haven't hit that point yet. I'll give it a minute, but radar still says it's snowing.
No, it's not outside, not yet.
Not here. I said in Texas.
Oh, well, okay. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, the entire state of Connecticut could fit in, like, the DFW Metroplex. So let's keep in mind that perspective that Texas is a big R state. So probably in the panhandle, it might be snowing because that's typically where it snows.
Think of the panhandle. It's just north of Denton.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. So it's near Oklahoma. Far. Yeah. Near Oklahoma. Okay. Again, big R state. We got to make it a little clearer. Where we live, it's like in the state of Connecticut.
It's cold, it's wet, and it's going to snow. So there.
That's more accurate.
Here, where we are sitting.
Okay.
Anyways,
I'm okay with that.
Because it is cold and wet outside, we have been staying inside working frantically on cosplay. Some of us more frantically than others. So, since you are the more frantic of the two of us, why don't you start?
We're doing so well already, aren't we? As Amber rolls her eyes at me. So, I've been working very, very feverishly on trying to get two costumes done. One is a personal project. The other one is a commission that's due next weekend that I'm almost done on. Yay, thank goodness. And I can actually start talking about it now because she's let her friends know. I'm working on making Sailor Chibi Moon from the Sailor Moon series. So making the outfit as well as her wig. Wig's already done, good to go. Outfit's nearly done. I'll have it to her hands by next Saturday. All is well in the universe. Great. Don't even have to worry about that. I'll try to post pictures of it later. What I've been working on is my own giant mess of a project of the Velvet on Velvet and currently working on all the accessories. On my Facebook page, I do have photos of the finished dress. Thank God. I'm really glad that I opted to throw out the old velvet version that I did and remake the entire darn thing because it looks a billion times better. It is so flippin' pretty. I'm so happy about it. But now I'm frantically working on a bunch of Warbler pieces for all of my accessories, as you see in here. I'll be working on this today during the podcast. That should be entertaining as I burn myself with hot glue. Should be great. But I'm doing really good because I nearly cut off my finger and Mickey Mouse is currently having it held together. My middle finger, no less. I'm doing fabulous. I finally bled on the costume. Look, I have a cheese cosplayer status. Yay. So other than that, it's mostly just me working with Warbler, and the rest of the week I'll be swimming in wig fibers as I work on the ridiculous bouffant that sits on the back of her head. And then I get to rest for like 2 weeks, and then we get to frantically go into AllCon prep mode for the cosplay contest, which, oh my god, we got to talk about that, Amber. We need to put that in our notes today for our to-do list.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited about the prizes that we've already got lined up, and we haven't had to purchase a whole lot yet. So I'm like, yay!
We will mention it.
Okay, cool. That's all my updates. It's Warbler and me hurting myself.
I have spent time cataloging the fact that I have way too much fabric, and I do not have enough room for it. So where I'm going to stick it, I do not know. But I have been carefully folding it and placing it into gallon-sized Ziploc bags to at least keep it clean and dust-free. And I am stacking those in my storage unit slowly. I have basically run out of storage bags at this point. So I have to get more. But the other thing I did is I finally started working on Irelia. Blah, blah, blah. English is hard. Irelia from League of Legends. And I've already sketched out, which you guys have probably seen on our Facebook page, I posted a picture of how my props all start, because it's all on gridded poster board, and it basically looks like a little draft. And so I finally transferred that draft this morning onto my EVA foam, and I have been spending the morning cutting it out. I also filmed a tutorial on basic use of a scroll saw while I was doing it, so it took me a little longer than normally it would have. So I'm about, I'd say, two-thirds of the way done cutting out all my pieces. And then I have to trace all those pieces onto styrene and cut those out. And then I have to grade the blades. I have to cut bevels on them. And that's going to be a little bit hard because they're not 45 degree bevels, so I can't use my scroll saw. Go figure. But it's okay. I will engineer the props and this will work. And there will be light up components to it. I just have to eventually purchase parts when I'm not in the middle of trying to sell my house. But I've gotten going. And at this point, I've also kind of resigned myself to the fact that I'm not going to slim down as much as I want to by Alcon. Just right now, I'm not losing any weight. I am losing measurements a little bit, but it's because I'm gaining muscle mass that I'm not losing any weight. So that said, I'm going to have to make new slopers for me to be able to draft the fabric portions of the costume. So that's probably going to be my task as soon as the props are done, which should not take me too long. Although if it stays cold and wet outside, it's going to make spray painting really hard. So that may have to wait. But I will redo my slopers so that I can make a properly fit costume. I made my pilgrimage yesterday to Golden D'Or, which is one of the local fabric outlets here in the DFW area. We have made ventures there you guys have seen in the past. And I got the fabrics that I needed for Irelia. So at this point, all I've got to do is just build the thing and then figure out how I'm going to do the gems. Because I don't want to cast those out of resin entirely. They'd be really heavy.
Well, build the thing.
The gems are large. Yeah, I have to build the thing. Like, Julie, do the thing.
I'm building do the thing.
Yes, I am building the thing. I should have it done by Alcon, like, barring any unforeseen random life things getting in the way. Which, I've had enough of life things getting in the way, so please, if, you know, fate is kind, I would love to be able to work on my costume.
Right?
Uninterrupted.
Just no more.
Oh, the other thing that we have been doing in the past week, this is a little bit more administrative, but just so that you guys know, we have been pinging people for interviews. We actually have one coming up this afternoon, so you guys will actually see that next episode because we didn't plan everything in time for this episode. So you guys will see it next episode. We're really excited to share this with you. I will keep the guest a secret so that you guys can see it next time. And we've also been pinging people to try and get donations for prizes for Alcon because we want to give you guys really awesome things to incentivize you to compete in the contest. And that is, of course, March 18th is the cosplay contest. It's at Alcon. Their website is alcon.org. You can also find them at alcon.net. I know they prefer us to use one or the other, but they both go to the same place, guys. So head over there. You guys can sign up already. Sign up sheet is up on the website. All of the rules and the details are also up on the website. We have our judges set, and you guys will probably get wind of that here shortly. And we have Epic Cosplay and Arta Wigs, both of whom are on board to help us out with prizes. So there will be wig prizes for Alcon. We are working. There's a couple other companies that we have pinged that I haven't heard back from yet, but fingers crossed that they will also help us out with donations. The prize pack is looking really good, you guys. Like, really good.
It's already way bigger than probably most conventions already give away. I mean, I'm just being honest. I keep looking at it going, like, if we keep adding to this, we're going to be, like, bigger than Dragon Con prizes. Because, like, Dragon Con doesn't give anything. SDCC doesn't give anything. So the fact that we've got pretty good Epic Cosplay gift cards, I'm like, dude, that alone is enough for me to compete. I don't need anything else.
They were
else.
Very generous with their donations. They really were.
They really, really were.
Yeah, so huge thanks. Big thanks to Epic Cosplay and to Arta for helping us out with the contest prizes. That really does help us out. Thank you so much, guys. We really do appreciate it.
Not to mention trophies.
Yes, we got the trophies.
And
there will be bubble wrap during the show.
Dude, bubble wrap's a thing, man. What can I say?
But anyways, we're basically getting things underway. The contest will be fantastic. We really encourage you guys, if you're on the fence about competing, you can always sign up because, you know, if you find out for some reason that you can't do it, you can always back out later. We're not saying that you should back out later. We're just saying that, you know, if you really want to do it, go ahead and sign up now. You can always rewrite your intro later. You can always, you know, change descriptions. You can do whatever you need to later on. That's fine. Because the deadline for cutoff on the entries is not until much closer to the contest. But if you're thinking about it, go ahead and sign up now. It'll help kind of give you that framework to push yourself to actually do your costume and get things done and actually compete. So please head over to alcon.org or alcon.net and head over to the cosplay contest page. It's cosplay, not costume. Costume is the one on Saturday.
We really probably should just have them rename it to the Friday Night Cosplay Contest.
It actually does say that when you go to the website.
Oh, good. They changed it because I made that suggestion to them and I was like, dudes, can we just change it to the Friday Night? Because that would make it so much easier. So much. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yep. So that is the end of my cosplay updates. And now we have mentioned AllCon.
Yay!
See, there you go. We worked it in there.
We worked it in there. I got to get the list updated fairly soon that has our judges as well as the new prizes that we got. Yay!
All right. And on our website, we have also updated our 2016 convention list. So you guys can have a look at that, see where we're going to be in 2016. And our next upcoming convention is PAX South, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. Now, Val is attending. Unfortunately, I could not. And I did not find that out until after I'd bought the ticket. So that's unfortunate. But Val will be representing both of us there. And she has a preview for you guys.
It'll be a very, very tiny, tiny preview because unfortunately they still haven't released the guidebook for this year. And one of the cool things that they do is they usually have like a show floor map. So they tell you who's going to be showing up, what they're going to be showcasing, where stuff's going to be at, all the great stuff. They have a schedule up, which is good. I'm okay with the schedule being up. But not knowing what's going on the show floor makes it a little like, I don't know what's going to happen. So it's like, bah! The only thing that I can assume is that there's going to be an Omegathon and we know it's going to be there. They've already listed the games. I'm ticked that I wasn't allowed to register this year because the first game is Beautiful Katamari. I would have kicked everyone's butt at that. But other than that, we know that it's going to be a cool show floor. It's going to have a lot of indie devs there, so I'm always looking forward to that. I love playing the indie games. I love trying out the new content that nobody else has had a chance to see. So that's always a joy for me. And if it's anything like last year, it's going to be relaxing. I'm going to meet a lot of fun people. I'm going to hang out with my friends. And it's just going to be 72 hours of nonstop gaming action. And so much of it. Minus a DS. I should probably eventually pick up a DS and street pass like a mad woman. Because that's the best place to street pass. If you ever need to collect puzzle pieces for your 3DS, just head to PAX. You don't even need a badge in certain cases. Just stand outside the convention center and just street pass like crazy, and you'll get all your puzzle pieces probably by the end of the day. Guaranteed. So the things that I'm looking forward to on the schedule itself, they don't have a whole lot of developers showing up this year. And I'm thinking it's because of the time of year that it's at. The Consumer Electronics Show just recently ended, so a lot of people have already used up their time for the month, and they're not really pushing for new content until around spring, and we're in the weird winter to spring transition right now, so it's kind of awkward for game developers. Typically, they don't start pushing out the new stuff until PAX East, which is this year in April, so that's actually about time when you start hearing new game announcements, so the timing of PAX South is a little awkward. It makes sense in the realm of PAX because then they have one every couple of months. But development cycle-wise, it's kind of eh. So we're not getting a whole lot of developers there, unfortunately. Does mean that we get more indie developers, which I'm always a big fan of. And I think that really is so much more interesting because you actually get a chance to talk to the independents and get to learn more about their craft and why they're crazy enough to spend 100 hours a week working on this little game that maybe nobody will ever play. That to me is much more entertaining than trying to make your way through the big booths and get shunned by everybody because, you know, you're spending 5 hours trying to wait in line to play maybe Quake Online or something stupid. So not too sure what developers are going to be showing up since they don't have a show floor map ready. I am really curious to see about the types of content that are coming out from the panels itself. There's a lot of stuff in there about adult gaming, feminism in gaming, gaming, G-A-Y-M-I-N-G. So that's pretty cool. And I'm really interested to see what people are talking about as games in the future. So there we go. It's my really tiny, 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 tiny preview because without knowing which developers are going to be there, I'm kind of like, I don't know how to plan other than I hope I attend those panels that I really want to attend and roll with it. The only thing, I think last year is going to be hard to top because I met Sid Meier, who is like a developer hero of mine. And I appreciate the crap out of him. So, you know, nothing's going to ever top that experience. That was like, he's one of my top five people I've ever wanted to meet. So
that works.
Yeah, that's what I got. Wait, as I say this, watch as they post the map like an hour from now. And I'll be like, really? You couldn't have done that sooner.
I have to wonder, as I'm glancing at the schedule, they have a panel called Rooster Teeth Gives a Long Division Tutorial. What exactly does that mean?
They are notorious for having very interesting panel topics, and then they go completely off the rails. They have some of the most entertaining panels that I have ever sat in. What I'm hoping to do is do RTX this year with my brother. It's a belated birthday gift for him. And mostly it's because I want to sit in on other panels, because they are just nothing but an hour of nonstop laughter. So they'll start actually teaching you long division, and then it's just going to go.
Well, I suppose it's a useful skill to have, is to be with a long division.
Depends. Is it the new long division or the old school long division?
I'm assuming it's old school given the age of the people that would be teaching it. This isn't the new core math that they're teaching now.
God, no Common Core, please. I don't understand. No Common Core.
I am a little sad because it looks like they are still not bringing Acquisitions Incorporated to PAX South.
Yeah.
I am sad.
I'm thinking it's because this is still in the newbie years and it's going to start building up to that point. I know a number of people said last year that they were disappointed by the lack of content, but I was also like, if you look at how the previous PAXes started out, this ran incredibly smoothly by comparison. Like PAX East, the first 3 years was an absolute train wreck. Like, it's amazing that the convention still managed to save itself with how badly things were put together. But South did a really good job.
It may simply be because there's no presence of Wizards of the Coast here.
That too.
They have no panels that they're running. I don't see any sort of vendor information on them. WotC isn't here at PAX South, and that may be why there's no ACK Inc. It may just be that they have other conventions that they're going to be at, right? You know, on this weekend.
Yeah, there's a couple of any possibilities. I mean, I still look at it as this is a newbie convention and they're still trying to build up that reputation. I think they did so well last year that they can only go up. I don't think it'll go down. I think it'll just keep going up.
Let's certainly hope so. So that is PAX South 2016, guys.
For now. Until Valerie comes back with camera.
Yes. And obviously there will be a review once the convention happens.
There will be a proper review, I promise.
All right. Well, unfortunately, my group chat cleared, so I'm just going to wing it. I believe next time we're going to cover cost philosophy.
We were. Hang on. Probably not a good idea to put the hot glue gun in my lap. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, please don't.
No,
especially my temp.
It's definitely a high temp. You can't really read it because it's kind of gunky, but it's totally a high temp.
Anyways, we wanted to make sure that we covered this on the show because it's an important topic to the community, both as attendees and as other volunteers at conventions. Let's put it that way. So we're pretty sure that by this point, everybody has heard of what happened at IckyCon. We're not going to rehash it. We're not going to drag people's names through the mud. We're not going to denigrate anybody because that's not how we want to cover this. We want this to be a civil discussion, but an important one. So more or less, we wanted to talk about guesting at conventions and the role that reputation can play in that and in what makes a professional cosplayer. So we've guested at cons.
We definitely have.
I've guested at one. I can't speak for Val. I've only been there once.
I got to count. Hang on. 7. I think 7. Don't quote me. I think
10. This is on recording now. But we have been on that side of the coin. And of course, we are still on that side of the coin because we are still open for guesting. But more or less, what happens when conventions choose their guests is that they'll take in suggestions from the fans, because of course you want to have guests that bring in fans to your convention. You want people to drive attendance and thus money. But you also look at people who would enrich your convention, who would bring good reputation, who will enhance the community, who will bring panels, will be a good guest, basically. And so they'll look through what old timers would have called a Rolodex, what new people would probably call a contact list at this point. And they'll look for cosplayers to come and be guests at your convention. And of course, there's dialogue that goes on with that.
Right.
And sometimes agents as intermediaries. But basically, they'll come up with a roster of people that they want to represent the cosplay track at their convention. Now, in that process, something that you want to consider is the reputation of the people you're bringing in. Obviously, if you bring in people who are not beneficial to cosplay, to the community, it's going to hurt your convention, because we as cosplayers, we pay special attention to that sort of thing. We're very protective of our community reputation, and we don't want that sullied by things happening at conventions, because things happen. Things can happen.
Things happen.
By researching the guests and making sure that this is going to be a good thing. So, that said, what happened at IkiCon and what sometimes happens at conventions is that there was a company who brought in their own people to end up serving as guests. And because it wasn't directly done through the convention, it has a different sort of impact on the convention, because the convention effectively loses control over those other guests. And that has a different sort of dynamic. But that aside, no matter who invites you to a convention, whether it's an industry, whether it's a club, whether it's the convention itself, whether it's a staffer as a friend, you have to make sure that you're behaving in a way that brings benefit to the community, because you are representing cosplay, whether you like it or not, and whether you're there to do it or not. If you are in a cosplay, or if you are a cosplayer even out of cosplay, you still have that sort of reputation hanging on your shoulders, for good or ill. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. Teachers are kind of the same way. That's why you don't find very many teachers hanging around at bars getting drunk. It's because even if you're off the clock, you still have that reputation following you around. So as a guest, and we try and exemplify this, you want to comport yourselves honestly, morally, and respectfully, and definitely civilly. You want to basically uphold yourself as the best possible cosplayer you can be to serve as an example for others. Because the example you set, if it is bad, it hurts the convention and it hurts other conventions and other guests. It's not just about you. It's about everybody. You know, this cue the circle of life theme song playing in the background. So when you are asked to be a guest, you have to ask yourself, can I be that example? Can I comport myself in a manner that befits a guest of this convention, that befits a cosplayer who is going to be covered by the media, by press, not just local press, because sometimes they'll send in your news outlets as well to cover the cosplay. And if you can be that paragon for other cosplayers who are just starting out and are looking to you as an example, as a lead. They don't know any better yet. So teach them how we should be behaving. That's, in my opinion, of course, this is all take it with two handfuls of salt. This is how guests should act at a convention, no matter who invites you, no matter what convention. So there's that. Anything to add, Val?
Yeah. No, you actually said it really, really well. I really don't know what else to add to that particular aspect of it. I mean, we could always take the topic one step further and discuss about what we think makes a professional cosplayer stand out from the traditional cosplayers, or maybe, hang on, let me,
that did not to do that.
My brain was going one way, my mouth is going another. I apologize, people. My head is just not on straight. It's like, get freaking stuff done now. Just cosplay, go. Val probably needs maybe a little bit of alcohol in her system. Maybe that would help me focus. How crazy and creepy is that? No, what was I trying to say? How the role of the cosplayer is changing. Because what we used to think as a professional cosplayer isn't necessarily professional anymore. That's where I was trying to go. My apologies.
Indeed. And what we wanted to discuss as far as we want to discuss professional cosplayers on the level of doing this for a living, even if it's, you know, half of your living. It doesn't have to be the entirety of what you do all the time, but it does have to be a significant part
right. Of
what you do.
Right.
And so usually on the road to becoming a professional cosplayer, there are goalposts along the way. And the very first one is having a portfolio. If people don't know what you're capable of, not only will they not consider you for a guest, but then people don't view you as a professional.
Exactly. That makes a huge world of difference. It's your portfolio.
It's basically your resume as a cosplayer. What would be a resume in the working world for professionals? So it's something that on your cosplay resume, in your portfolio, you want true pictures of what you have done. Because you're being judged on your talent. What can you do? What are you capable of? What are you allowed to teach in an authoritative manner?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you an expert? Because as cosplayers, we want to learn from our betters. That's a good thing. We want to learn from our betters. We also want to be judged by our betters. So we want people who are very capable in these different cosplay disciplines. You know, there are dozens of cosplay disciplines. So in your portfolio, be honest, show what you can do. Show in-progress pictures. Show finished products. Show you in the finished products if you want to. I mean, you can always have a model display them if you prefer.
Right.
I don't like wearing my costumes. But we want it to be what you can do, not what you've had commissioned from somebody else. I mean, those are fine if you want photo shoot style pics, but it doesn't belong in your portfolio because you didn't do it. That is my opinion. That would be like me putting on a resume that I worked on a project that was entirely somebody else's. I can't do that in the working world and be ethical because I didn't do it. So that said, you also want to make sure that you have a wide portfolio. You want to make sure that it's diverse, you know, showing all the different aspects of what you do, showing all the in-progress pics, showing yourself at conventions. If you do charity work, show that. Basically, you want to show yourself in the community, being a good cosplayer. Because a portfolio isn't just about technique. It's about you as a cosplayer. Just like my resume isn't all my technical skills, it's also my people skills. What have I done to be a good person? So in that way, it really is like a resume, as far as cosplay goes. We like well-rounded cosplayers. We like people to give back. We like people to be good community members. Help out other people. Tutorials can be part of your portfolio if you want. Sure. That's a great thing. Anything to add once I move on from portfolios?
Well, I'm going to be the devil's advocate here because given how much the cosplay persona has changed over the years, a number of people who are currently cos famous are not necessarily those who make their own work. They're known as models, essentially. And they use the work of others to promote themselves, promote their image, promote their products. So in that sense, is that any better or any worse than a professional cosplayer? Because people still consider them cosplayers. I mean, they are technically cosplaying.
That actually goes into the next step of what I would normally consider to be a professional, is that you actually start going out to attend conventions, either on a paid basis or on an invited basis, not just as an attendee. You know, not somebody who just pays to go in and you're like everybody else. Basically, you're starting to get elevated status. So you're just about there in being a professional when you start making that sort of circuit. or if you start taking commissions for a living in a tradesman sort of sense, like Vulpin. When you start doing it on that level, you start hitting professional status really quickly because it becomes a trade. It becomes, I don't want to say a profession because then I'm using the dictionary word in the dictionary definition. That's not good.
Right.
But you're doing it on a basis of skill at that point. So you start making the rounds, and that's when you start seeing the models. Because as much as we may hate to admit it, cosplay is still a visual art. People like to look at people. And we know, family-friendly podcast, so I'll keep it clean, but sex sells. So what better way to sell your product than to have it on a really good-looking person and to have other people look at it? Because they will. They're people. People like to look at other people. I can see that. Would I consider them a professional cosplayer? For me, no. They are models. Even if they're wearing somebody else's cosplay, if you did not work with that yourself in some way, it doesn't have to be like you made it from scratch. I mean, even alterations still count. You can still cosplay and wear a completely commissioned costume, but I would not consider that professional. When you're professional, I consider that as part of you. How do I say this?
There's no safe way to say it.
The rails. Basically, it's you putting yourself into your hobby at that point. Because as society, we don't tend to look as kindly upon people who have made it to where they are in life without having to at least have worked somewhat for it instead of being handed to them. We call that silver spoon syndrome in slang terms.
Or Kardashian syndrome.
So basically, at least in my opinion, and this is only my opinion, that once you hit that level, you need to start putting effort. If you haven't already, you need to be putting the effort into making some part of that costume. If you thrift it and you make alterations, that's fine. As long as you are doing something to it that does not involve simply putting it on.
And I think I could probably agree with that. And it's tricky because we're at a point now where we're seeing more cosplay guests at conventions, not necessarily act as teachers or representatives. They're there to sell themselves and to sell their product. And I should probably rephrase that. I don't mean sell themselves in a really bad way, because I mean essentially their image is what they're trying to sell. So I apologize. I did not mean for it to come out vulgar. I swear that was not the intent. But they are trying to sell their image. They're trying to sell their own personal products. It's not about them teaching the new generation of cosplayers that are up and coming. It's not them judging cosplay contests. It's here's a bunch of photos, here's a bunch of magazines, here's a bunch of calendars, buy my stuff.
And to an extent, some of that is okay for conventions because that conventions need to drive attendance. If people enjoy seeing pros do that sort of thing, then they will come and the conventions will invite them.
Exactly.
So you kind of have to understand it from a convention's point of view that their goal is not the same as an attendee's goal. So you may see professional cosplayers who may not, you know, wear as much of their cosplay. They may go around more in casual clothing occasionally at conventions, or they may not teach as many panels. It's more of a status thing than it is as a representative of the community thing. We're kind of evolving more towards the, oh, what would you call it? Not economic. It's almost a marketing thing.
Yeah, it really is, because now we're at the point where the cosplayers that you see at conventions, I mean, it's really based on, and as dumb as it sounds, Facebook likes and Instagram followers. Even though those mean absolutely nothing about your skill level or about the type of person that you are or how well you teach, conventions see that as the qualifier for, okay, now you're at the point where you can be a guest because you have X number of likes on a Facebook page. And it really is all about marketing.
People.
You attract people, even if some of them happen to be bots, because we know how Facebook and Instagram works. But but that likeness factor is essentially ticket sales. And that's what it boils down to for conventions, is how many people are you going to pull in to make it worth the money that we pay you to show up?
And once you hit that level, sometimes it can go to your head.
Oh, God, yes.
Because there's, and I'll openly admit to this, having been a guest once, there's a bit of a high that you get off of being a guest. Because it's really nice, for lack of a better phrase, it's really nice to feel wanted.
Yep, absolutely.
It's nice to have people treat you with that sort of respect that comes from simply having the title guest. And it can almost be intoxicating in a way. And you end up starting to crave that high. And I'm being brutally honest when I say these things, because normally those are not spoken of in polite society, but it's the truth. And it may get to a point where you start to crave that more and more. And so you have to be really careful about, again, embodying that good example, because you don't necessarily want to start to fabricate your resume, put things on there that you didn't do, put things on there that, you know, you may be planning on doing but haven't actually done yet, or, you know, fabricating all the number of conventions you've been to, fabricating how you got your start in cosplay. I mean, whatever. I'm not saying these things particular to IckyCon. This is, again, we're not dragging people through the mud. We're saying this to have a discussion. And you have to be careful not to let fame go to your head like that, because once you start that downward spiral, it goes quick. And I mean, just like if you were to start lying, it's really hard to get out of that, because then you have to start telling lies on top of lies. And you start to damage not only your own reputation, but that of the convention that you're associated with, if any, and of the community. Because that reflects on cosplay as a whole, because you are a guest of cosplay. So I would urge anybody who is looking to do that sort of thing, because I will never discourage anybody from going pro. If you want to go pro, you do you. Best of luck to you. I honestly wish you the best of luck, because it's hard. It's hard to be a pro, really. But if you can do it, then I wish you all the success in the world. But as you are going up there, as you are making your way up that totem pole, and when you hit the top, be very mindful of what that position means in the cosplay community. And be very mindful of how people are going to start perceiving you, because the internet is very savvy. If there's anything wrong in your resume, in your convention history, in anything, if anything goes wrong while you are up there and you're under that intense scrutiny, the internet will know and they will tear you down. And it's not in a pleasant way. You don't want to be in that position, really. You don't. And this is why, you know, we here at CosPod try and uphold that ultimate morality. It's why we're a family show. We have to hold that high standard, because the fall is quick, and I'd really rather not go there and have our podcast destroyed like that. That's not cool, guys.
We're better than that. We're so much better than that.
We certainly do our best to be better than that. I mean, we're still human. We still have flaws, just like anybody else. I fully admit I got a high off the last time I was a guest and got to judge a contest. Uber cool, but I admit it was very tempting to let it go to my head. So I've tried my best not to let it go to my head and try and keep that humility level up. Because there are people I know who are better than me. Like, I know in person who are better than me, let alone all the celebrities that I don't know personally. There are so many people who are better than me that can teach me, that I can learn from other people. And so I can't just hold myself out there as the best cosplayer there is, because I'm not. And I never will be. There won't be a best cosplayer, because we'll never know everything. And so I don't want to see a guest act in that sort of way, ever, at any con. I want my guests to be fun people. I want my guests to be willing to mingle with the other people, to teach them, to talk with them, to share in our love of, you know, our shared hobby, which is cosplay, and to be good people. And I don't think that's too much to ask.
I will be 150% in agreement with you there. That isn't too much to ask for.
So if there are professional cosplayers out there, we thank you guys for being guests at the conventions, and we hope that you guys will set a good example for those who are up and coming behind you.
Because that's always what's important. Soapbox.
Yeah. I will set my soapbox right here, and I will dust it off.
Are you sure it's been dusted off?
For now. Probably needs vacuuming at this point.
Yeah, it probably does. But it also, I think, unfortunately, it kind of speaks to conventions sometimes not properly vetting out their guests and not actually double-checking the backgrounds and making sure what they're saying is legitimate versus, well, I mean, to be blunt, piles of crap. Because it's so easy to BS a bio, unfortunately. It really, really is. And especially when it comes to the type of awards that you've won at conventions or which ones you've attended as a guest versus just as a normal attendee, sometimes it's really difficult to do that, especially if it's a tiny, tiny convention. You know, something like the size of ACON, SDCC, whatever, New York Comic Con. You can always contact people and double check. Smaller conventions that are maybe 500 to 1,000 people, you don't always know. You can try to check their website. They probably have changed staff on a yearly basis, so it's a little bit more difficult. So I think some of it is in part of the conventions needing to do a better job of actually checking the backgrounds of their cosplay guests to make sure that what they're asking, what they're doing is 100% legitimate. But also knowing what the expectations of the guests are, because as I've mentioned earlier, cosplay guests are going into so many different directions. You've got the ones that Amber and I would be considering as professional cosplayers. They're the ones who teach us. They're the ones who judge the contest. They're the ones who are there to teach the future generation versus the model guests who are there to show up, wear the pretty costumes, sign a couple of autographs, take photos, and call it a day. So expectations, I think, is a big thing too.
We get it. Conventions are competitive. We understand that you may not want to share your trade secrets with other conventions. We get it. Seriously, we get it. At the same time, if you have somebody that you're considering as a guest and you don't absolutely know their history, you can probably ask your friends in cosplay, in the cosplay community, to see if they know these people. Because chances are good. This is not quite 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but it comes pretty close.
It does.
You can find somebody who knows this person and who knows what sort of a reputation they have in the community. So kind of by word of mouth, I'm not saying that should be your deciding factor,
but it helps.
It can certainly be a factor.
Yeah.
To know these people, because generally those in the community who have a good reputation, people know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Share it with other people.
Absolutely.
So feel free to kind of covertly ask around to your friends and get a feel for these guys. We're not saying the people at IckyCon didn't. Like I said, we're not being accusatory. Let this be a future lesson to other conventions in case they don't know this. So that has kind of been our piece on the controversy of cosplay guests and what makes a pro.
Are we pro status?
No. I don't do this for any sort of living. I don't go to enough conventions to be a pro. I don't get paid to do it. I've only won 2 awards. Not pro. Not even close. Not even semi-pro.
You've only won 2 awards?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. But again, this is what's interesting, is that how the cosplay community is changing. Because you think about how few people who are cos famous now that actually compete in contests. Like, I mean, really, think about it. How many people can you name off the top of your head that are cos famous?
I didn't compete until late in my cosplay career, mostly because I thought I wasn't good enough. Because I'd see all the costumes up on the stage and go, there's no way I can do that. And so I didn't. Otherwise, I think I probably would have been a little more accomplished at this point. And it's intimidating. It really is. When you look at the sheer level of cosplay now, I mean, back in the day, it was intimidating enough. When you look at today's cosplay in competition and you look at what you're up against, I totally get why it's intimidating. It's still intimidating to me, and I'm not a beginner level anymore. I mean, what people are capable of is just mind-blowing.
It is. However, you don't have to compete in contests if you want to be a professional. I think that's a misnomer now, that it's at the point where that's no longer even necessary. You can be a social media cosplay star and get your famousness that way. I mean, let's be honest, you don't have to step foot on a stage ever and you can still be cos famous. So you can never have your skills questioned or judged. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
We are minor cos famous.
I don't even know about that. I still live in the realm of fantasy that I don't think I am. Well, I don't know.
We have enough of a listener base that we are minor internet celebrities by technical definition.
Oh, okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah, because I'm like, I don't think of myself in that
way.
We're
not well known.
No.
In the U.S. cosplay community. But that's
God,
okay.
No. I'm okay with that.
We don't have to be. It would be nice, but we don't have to be.
I rather like being not very well known so I can actually go around and enjoy conventions and not have to worry about getting mobbed or any of that bull crap.
Well, if any of you who are listening have opinions on this, have concerns, suggestions, comments, please let us know, as we are happy to include them on the show and in our social media. We want you guys to feel free to join in our discussion as well, even if you're not following us right now live as we're doing this recording. You guys are always welcome to comment.
We like opinions and we like hearing your opinions. We like it when our listeners are involved. So talk to us, please. We will respond twice.
Sometimes twice. You'll get one.
If I remember to check my email, then it's twice.
Or if it goes through.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that, I am off my soapbox now, and I'm afraid to get back on because it looks a little rickety. So.
Ha! Funny.
I think I need a new soapbox.
Yeah, probably do.
But otherwise, do you have anything else?
Nope, I'm steadily working on my necklace. Look at this! Look at how much I've accomplished in this past hour. Go me!
I'll be back to cutting foam here in a bit. Well, we will go ahead and wrap up this episode 107 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Feel free to contact us over any of our social media. You can also email us at podcast@cospod.org. Hopefully shortly you guys will actually see us in the Google Music Store, because they have opened up the podcast portal, just not to the public yet. But we have already submitted. We've already been accepted. We will be in the portal as soon as they open it up for everybody else. So you can find us there as well. Thank you. Thank you to our new listeners. We have new listeners in Japan, in Sweden, and in Brazil, as well as Spain. Thank you guys so much for downloading and sharing the show. We appreciate it. We will see you guys next time. For those going to PAX South, happy PAXing. Bye, everybody.